This episode of WDW Today is being sponsored by touringplans.com. Hey, when it's time to go to Walt Disney World and you want to get down there and not wait in long lines, that's, I think, pretty much everybody listening, well, then touringplans.com is the resource for you, in fact, because you're going to be able to do everything and see everything without waiting for everything. You got to really check out all the great things touringplans.com has. And we've got a special discount just for WDW Today listeners. Use discount code ZUZU2014, ZUZU2014. And you can save 21% off. Check it out right now at touringplans.com. At
It's Monday, December the 1st, 2014, and this is episode 1429 of Walt Disney World Today, sponsored by touringplans.com.
I'm your host for this introduction, Philip Burton from foulcats.co.uk. I'm a fellow listener and one of the backroom boys of WDW Today. Well, Matt, Mike and Len are currently going to Reunion 2014, and if you want to follow what's happening, please go to our Twitter account, at WDW Today Podcast. While everyone's at Reunion, Mike Newell has asked me to introduce this week's shows. If my name Philip sounds familiar, but you can't place it from where, I've been mentioned once or twice on the show. I think I've got a clip here. Let's see.
Calm down, Scabetta.
No, that's not it.
Janine, thank you for coming on your last show.
No, not that.
So do you keep your soul in a box?
Definitely not.
If Philip was here, first of all, he would have told you that in episode, like, whatever.
Three.
Yeah, you told me not to go to you first.
He would say that. In episode seven.
Seven. Ye old episode seven.
Ye old episode seven. You once told Mike.
If I told you...
There we go. So what's today's show all about? Well, the WDW Today website has had for a few years an exclusive series of shows called The Best of WDW Today, a highlight show going all the way back to episode 1 in 2005. So far we've had 25 highlight shows, going up to episode 374, and if you haven't heard them, there will be a link in our show notes and Facebook account. So today we present episode 26, which is from February and March 2008. In today's show, we find out who Mike Scabetta is, and there's a lot of playful fun at Lou Mangiello's expense. Always good. That's all from me for today. Take it away, Matt, and I'll see you on the next show.
Today's episode of Walt Disney World Today is being sponsored by the Orlando Vista Hotel. Come on, it's got a huge pineapple in front. How much better does it get?
It's Wednesday, March 19th, 2008. I'm Matt Hotchberg from StudioCentral.com.
On the show today, we have Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. And Mike, episode 375, only 25 left until the big 400.
Yeah, I'm hoping that you screw up a few more times so I have some clips.
Yeah, let me give you a good one right here. just put a long beep over that one.
Oh, my God.
Also on the
Boy,
show
Matt,
today.
You're a real cave of wonders. You know that?
Okay, Mike. It was funny one time. That was 3 days ago.
Also on the show today, we have Mike Scopa of All Ears Network. Welcome, Mike.
Can we stop at a mini-mart or something and get some snacks? I have a tendency to get real hungry after a couple of million years.
Oh, I know. Ellen's Energy Adventure.
Right.
And also on the show tonight, we have Len Testa, co-author of The Unofficial Guide to Walt Disney World. And Len, if you could describe the podcast in terms of beverages, adult beverages, what would it be?
We would definitely be a beer with a shot chaser. That's us. We're sort of the blue-collar Disney World podcast, not some sort of elite...
White Sinfidel?
Not some sort of white Zinfandel with goat cheese
That's right.
Sort of Mongello-ish type of podcast.
That's right. And also on tonight, we have Annette Owens of MEI and Mouse Fan Travel. Welcome, Annette.
Hi, guys.
I would definitely keep your eye on certain studios-oriented websites for more information as we get closer to it.
You got to find one.
Yeah, I need a good one.
Yeah, me too.
One that's reliable, has good, you know.
Good facts.
Good information. You know? Yeah.
It's hard to find. I don't know.
Next email from Jen, who writes, hopefully you'll be able to tell your listeners about this before Christmas 2007. Well, too late. I listen all the time and know your track record. And it's Monday, March 3rd, 2008, and this is episode 378 of Walt Disney World Today. I got it in there. I'm Matt Hotchberg from StudioCentral.com. On the show today, we have Mike Scopa of All Ears Net. Welcome, Mike.
This is a very moving moment. Yeah, I wish they'd move it to Pittsburgh.
Muppets.
Old Orphan Stadler. Why don't you tell people about the butterfly exhibit?
Again, I haven't been in it in a while, but it's a rather large tent that in Future World, and it's got we walk through, and it's sort of like an aviary, but for butterflies, and they're all over the cages, and they fly around and they land on you, and it's butterflies.
Nice, it's butterflies.
It's considered bad form, by the way, to swat at them. I'm told. to run screaming from the tent, going, my eyes. That's just like, can you imagine like running out of it with a stream of butterflies chasing you? You know, like, what it would look like from across the lake. We should do that. We should go down and do it.
There you go. We'll douse you in honey, and then we'll have you run out of there. And this is episode 379 of Walt Disney World Today. And also joining us, we have Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Hi, Mike.
What's going on?
What's happening?
What's happening?
Sup?
You never...
Okay. James Brown is in the house tonight.
No, I think he's just having a stroke. Somebody hit him.
Sounds like somebody's trying to strangle him.
On today's show, it's Wednesday, and that means we're going to be answering your listener questions. And the first listener question.
Right. I'm so excited.
Nicole from Percassie, Pennsylvania, right? I'm going to be with my mom, my dad, my 16-year-old brother, and my 9-year-old sister. We'll be staying on property at the Broadway Villas. I think maybe she means Boardwalk Villas. And we'll have a car.
Lights are bright.
We will have a car since we're driving down. We will also be on the dining plan. My mom wants to try it since we haven't done it since it was food and fun. I know that the dining plan doesn't cover alcoholic beverages. However, my mom has this crazy idea of taking me to Pleasure Island to party. I myself am uncomfortable with the idea of going out with my mom. Not my mom is cool. It's just, well, she's my mom. I was hoping you folks could suggest a family-friendly place that we can all go and get sloshed. Okay, I put that part in there. That I can suggest to them to go for dinner and maybe hang out for a while afterward.
Raglan Road. Nothing says drunken family like Raglan Road.
Raglan Road is
good. I gotta say, just the idea of having your mom as a wingman just sounds a little. Excuse me, have you met my son? It's like going to Hooters with your mom.
What about the?
It's just not done outside of the Testa family.
Exactly. I mean, doesn't that go a long way towards explaining a lot of things about me? But I wouldn't recommend it for everyone else. At least I have some sense of what's, you know, propriety.
Newell, did you have a recommendation?
What about the Adventurers Club?
Who wants to know if the mom is hot?
Stop. Don't ask. Stop.
What? Deny you said it. Deny it.
All right. You know, that chat is supposed to be private. It's not supposed to get out.
Next email is from Kevin from Fort Wayne, Indiana, who writes, Matt, Mike, and Len, two questions for you. What do you think the music for Toy Story Mania will be like?
Toy Story? I'm thinking German funeral march, but I've been known to be wrong about these things.
16th century Gregorian chants, perhaps?
That's where my hump's from, you know. It's going to be one or the other.
Craig from Akron, Ohio writes, Mongello, gentlemen. I've been listening to the show for about a year now. I love the endless banner, and now I get most of the in-jokes. The show keeps getting funnier and funnier. Keep up the good work. I do wonder, though, how Walt Disney World Today got started. How did you guys meet? How do you start doing a podcast? Why? And why did you start doing it?
I lost a bet.
Yeah.
This was second place prize in a contest.
Isn't this your community service, Len?
Exactly. She committed a crime. This is my parole officer said
it was here for a long time.
This stupid woman crossing the street not looking.
I know, really. I mean, anyway.
And this is episode 380 of Walt Disney World Today.
The AP, I mean, we have to sort of nail down, we'd have to look at what the options are in terms of the suite versus two rooms, but I think even for either one, I mean, definitely for the two rooms, the two value resort rooms, it makes sense to do it. And I think for the moderate, it still makes sense. Even if you get the minimum discount, you would still save $30. And so the minimum discount that Disney posted for APs for that type of resort is $40 is the least discount we've ever seen.
You're saying per night plan, right?
Per night, yeah. So the average discount is $49.
So that would be $240 for the trip, which right then that makes the price of the AP that makes it a wash. And then if you add in the Disney dining experience, that's where Brett really can make out really well. With the meals.
Even without the dining experience, for lunch and dinner during the week, he would get either 10 or 20% off at a lot of the Epcot or at a lot of restaurants. Well, lunch or dinner. Some of them are dinner too.
Really? Okay.
And some of it is counter service, so you're not, We used it a lot for counter service when we went with a family of six.
See, the issue
after day one, we had gotten our money back, so.
Yeah, the issue with the dining experience is you'd pay the additional charge. You'd have to get 16. Yeah. You'd have to get you'd have to get the 20% off. It's still a better deal than getting 10% off the AP.
Mm-hmm. Depending on where just valet everywhere you go, Brett, and you'll make all the money real quick.
at the All Stars, you're gonna valet. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Excuse me. Garçon.
Just from experience here, Brent, let me just tell you, if there's a guy there waiting to take your car at the All-Star Resorts, don't give it to him.
It'll be an expensive valet.
And episode 381 of Walt Disney World Today. Also on the show, we have Mike Scopa of AllEars.net. Hi, Mike.
Hey, do you guys know the difference between crocodiles and alligators?
No.
The crocodiles are made of plastic and the alligators are made of fiberglass.
Jungle Cruise.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Nice.
And also joining us tonight, we have Michael Scabetta, who is a Illuminations cruise driver. Hi, Mike.
Good evening, everybody.
Michael, you've worked for Walt Disney World for quite a bit and you have quite a bit of history.
One week we had Andy Garcia for the whole week at Disney Institute. Every night we were doing something a little different. And one night we were showing Godfather 3 at the movie theater. Now, that's a long movie. I was working
very long movie.
And at 8 o'clock when we were about to start the film, Andy Garcia is nowhere to be found. Nobody knows where he is. So we're trying to decide. Well, I'm just an usher. I wasn't trying to decide anything. But they decided to start the movie. We saved the last row for him. So that when he did show up, we'd get him in and then do the Q&A afterwards. About 20 minutes into the film, a gray van pulls up in front of the theater and out jumps Andy Garcia and the three Lawrence brothers. Apparently, they were out to dinner. Whoa. They come walking in and Joey Lawrence says, oh, they started the movie. I don't know what's going on. I've never seen this movie. So I'm standing in their lobby, and Andy Garcia acts out the first 20 minutes of Godfather 3 to catch Joey Lawrence up, right up to the part where he bites the guy's nose off while he's dancing with him. It was – I couldn't believe it. I was just like, this is fantastic. I can't believe I'm standing here getting paid whatever, $7 an hour to watch Andy Garcia perform.
That's awesome.
And that's how I met Len Testa one night.
That's right. That's how we met, right? It was like I had like a 5 o'clock reservation, and it was for, I think I'd made it for like four people, and then I had to beg and plead because it went from like four to eight.
Yes, and I think it was the night before Mouse.
Boy, that never happens.
Yeah, I know. And so I go up and I'm like, please, 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 please. And you guys managed to do it too.
Yes, we did. We had a good crew there.
I didn't even have to mention that I was Lou Mangiello, which was amazing.
This was at the high fest? Chair.
Was that at Mouse Fest, Len?
Oh, that's great.
So now, Michael, you started driving the Breathless One. Why don't you tell our listeners what it is and how you got over there and all about that?
Well, 9/11 happened, and all of us part-timers basically were told, you know, we have to give all the hours to full-timers, and that was quite understandable. And I could agree with that. I had a full-time job. I could pay my mortgage without my Disney money. So I did not work from September, October into November. There was just no hours for me anywhere, even at Yachtsman Steakhouse. Coincidentally, my daughter, Danielle, was a lifeguard, and she was a coordinator at Wilderness Lodge. So on a Saturday afternoon, I believe it was the Saturday after Thanksgiving, I get a call around 3:30, and she says, "Dad, what are you doing?" I said, "Well, basically nothing, Danielle. Me and your mother are just watching TV here." She goes, "I need you to do me a favor. Come on over here and drive a fireworks cruise." I said, "You want me to do what?" And she said, "Just come over here. We got a 24-foot pontoon boat. I know you know how to drive a pontoon boat. Come on out over here and take out a family to watch the fireworks." I said, "Okay." So my wife goes, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to drive a boat." And I went over to Wilderness Lodge and got the costume and went out there. And my 18-year-old daughter takes me out and says, "Just point to the hotels. Tell them all that useless trivia you got in your head." She goes, "But most importantly, at 10 o'clock, make sure you're sitting in front of the Magic Kingdom. Watch the fireworks and then try to find your way back and bring the people back at the end of the show." And I really had a great time.
You said, wait, was that last step again?
"Make sure you find your way back."
So bring the people back. Oh, okay. All right.
How much do we have to pay you, Michael, to put a recording of our podcast on there?
Yes, we should.
Yeah, just put a CD of a couple of our episodes. Throw that in there, you know.
The WW Today theme song. Yeah.
Especially when I find somebody who's very in tune to what's going on at Disney. I try to find out, you know, what websites are they visiting? Where are they getting their information? And your podcast and Lou's podcast, I would say, are the two that I hear the most coming back.
Lou? Lou who?
Who? Was it the person?
Jerry Lewis? What was the name?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, lady!
This is episode 385 of Walt Disney World Today. This next email, Van, I think you're going to enjoy. This sounds like something that came out of one of your top seven lists over here. It comes from Jim in Lexington, who writes, "Gentlemen, my family and I enjoyed a Christmas trip to the world last month. While there, my 21-year-old daughter Ellen and I realized that there's a small but noticeable population of Disney guests who are not being served by any of the guidebooks. To that end, we decided to write the Complete Jerk's Guide to Walt Disney World. Chapters will include: move to the end of the aisle, are you serious? How elbowing your way into a theater entitles you to center, assuming others will climb over you. Another chapter: I paid for this seat, avoiding eye contact with a pregnant woman standing and holding a sleeping 2-year-old while you continue to sit on the bus. Tobacco Land: the best places other than smoking areas, of course, to sneak a smoke. Watch what they do for minimum wage. Throw your trash in the streets and watch how quickly cast members pick it up. Queue crashing, parade spot poaching, and more. Hope this can be an episode topic. Keep up the good work."
That's great. Yeah, and to Jim, I think you said that's who it was. You need to listen to my podcast because it's so up your alley. I hate to like pimp it out another one, but seriously, you know, stop by. That's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, there's some good topics over there.
Don't forget that book.
Yeah, don't forget also the chapter on, you know, ramming the person in front of you with your stroller like it's a snowplow. And this is episode 386 of Walt Disney World Today. On today's show, we have Mike Scopa of AllEars.net. Welcome, Mike.
Now, as I understand it, Matt, all you do is drop the object into the chamber, and you press the button, and presto.
Drop the object. Wow, I'm totally blanking on this.
Actually, what if I had said, "Now, as I understand it, Nick, all you do is drop the object into the chamber and press the button."
Honey, I Shrunk the Audience?
Yes.
Very good. And once again, everyone's ditched us tonight. The only person I could find was Soundboard Len. Welcome to the show again, Soundboard Len.
Howdy ho, Matt.
No Soundboard Newell, huh?
No.
Ooh, so sorry.
Thank you, Soundboard Len. And Plans. This is episode 388 of Walt Disney World Today. Let's start with a question from Jamie St. Clair, who writes, "Hey guys, just heard my question answered, albeit 2 months after our trip on episode 376.
Welcome back.
Regarding going ahead with an ADR with an extra guest. We went to the Liberty Tree Tavern at our reserve time, and we were being taken to our table. I told our hostess of our dilemma. To my surprise, she and others were going to find us a bigger table. We declined and told them that we would just hold on to our one-year-old, and everything worked out great. Ironically, we're under the same situation for our Easter trip coming up in a few weeks. Oops. And we have now a 16-year-old sister. We've made some ADRs for five, but may show up." Next email is from Chris, who writes, "I'm just curious why you guys hate Lou Mangello so much. I listen to a number of Walt Disney World podcasts, and it seems that usually people in the Walt Disney World community are very complimentary of each other. Did Lou do something to offend you? Is he arrogant, obnoxious, or something like that? I'm not defending Lou, as my only contact with him is listening to his podcast. I enjoy both yours and his podcast. So what's the deal? As I am unaware of kind of the inside jokes between you and Lou, I don't have a real problem with you expressing your feelings about him, but I feel in the dark as to why you do." Well, Chris, let me answer
this. Let me just say. And Mangello knows what he did.
That's right. we don't hate the guy. And this would be a perfect opportunity for me to plug the Walt Disney World Today wiki. If you go to www.today.com, on the right-hand side, you'll see a link to the wiki. And all of the inside jokes are explained over there for some of our newer listeners like yourself. And you can kind of get a good synopsis of it. I think that'll clear up some questions you might have. But in short, we don't hate the guy. We just it's fun to make fun of him. Let's put it that way. And this is episode 389 of Walt Disney World Today. And we have a special guest today. It's Thomas Tryon, who's the producer for special events and projects at Walt Disney World. Welcome, Tryon. Thomas.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Alliteration always gets me. Now, we brought Thomas on, among other reasons, because you're actually the producer for the Block Party Bash Parade at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Now, Thomas, when people ask me to tell them about Block Party Bash, I often say, I call it, it's not your father's parade. This is a high energy, emphasis on high energy attraction. It's almost a show, really, that moves.
I think you hit on the key point that it really is a show. It draws people in just by its energy, but literally, we use people as a part of the show. So it just happens that it's a parade, but it's so much more than that. We parade down the street. Everybody gets the kind of wave to the characters. It all goes by you. You get to see the immensity of the floats. But then when it stops and we do the show, we can do so much more. We're able to do things that a traveling unit can't. We're able to add effects. You know, people can go and things unfold from the floats, and we bring out the scream meters, and we're able to collect the screams from the guests. You know, those are things that a moving unit couldn't do. So we reveal more things through the show stops. We reveal the trampolines, and we get to have acrobats doing things that would be impossible if the parade had to move. And then we build and build and build. As you talked about the level of excitement, I think it's the show that has everything but the kitchen sink in it. You know, there are all these kind of different props that the kids get to use. There are balls that we throw back and forth to the guests. There are tambourines that the dancers use. We have Nerf balls that go out at the end. It makes it so much more for the guests when they get to come out and dance with us, when they get to come out and learn to do, you know, they learn their favorite disco moves and everything. They really are experiencing something that's different than the more passive traditional parade of you just kind of watch it go by. And
yeah,
and that makes the cast so much more energized. Our performers are just the key to the show.
It always helps if you don't mute yourself. it's Sunday, March 8, 2008, and this is live show number 21 of Walt Disney World Today.
This is Rex. I'm calling from my car, so I haven't been listening to the show. But pull over. Go in and ask.
We've been talking about
pull over
you,
now.
Rex.
Now. What are ask Len about his sister's trip and how that went and who she ran into and the prizes given out. I'd been curious about that and hadn't heard anything about it.
Oh, she actually, so she ended up running into, I think, three or four different people from who listened to the show, and it turned out very well. She, her first day was in Epcot, and literally within 15 minutes of getting into the Land Pavilion for Fast Passes for Soarin', somebody saw her across the building from the Land Pavilion, like inside, you know, how it's sort of U-shaped or it's circle-shaped. Somebody was on one side of the ramps and saw Christy from the other side and screamed all the way across the pavilion, "Christina!" and ran over and met her. So they got one of the prizes, and so that was great. I think every day she saw a couple of people who recognized her. They she found someone someone actually found her at night in Epcot as they were coming in through International Gateway, and I think they all had beers together. Where else did they meet? Somebody in the Magic Kingdom.
We should mention actually something that one of our listeners did that was very nice for Christina.
That's right.
One of our listeners was able to. What really happened was Christina got back to her room with her husband and Dion, and they got there, and someone had actually sent them as a surprise. I don't think they mentioned, left the name, a gift basket.
To help it was Bob and Donna from New Hampshire, and I don't remember their. I don't remember their last name, but
that really made Christina was floored by it. She was really excited to get in, totally unexpected. So we thank whomever sent that.
There's Bob and Donna. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So Bob and Donna, whomever.
Yeah, and I was the other one that found her. It was on the last day, at the American Adventure, and of all things, I was standing there watching the Fife and Drum Corps. And all of a sudden, both of them just walked right in front of me. And I thought, no, it can't be that easy. And I said, are you Christina? And she's like, yeah. I was like, okay, well, I found you. Now what do I win?
Exactly. That's great. Okay, so we're doing a trip to Disney World. And it's my both my sisters are with me. So Christina and Linda. And we decide we're living in North Carolina, and we're driving my 1984 Ford Escort, which is light blue, and the car's name is Biff.
The Wonder Car.
Right. Biff the Wonder Car. Right. Thank you, Matt. So we decide that we're going to take a day off from Disney. We're going to go to the Kennedy Space Center. And we're actually leaving as we do this, so we're actually going home. We decide along the way that we're going to grab some bagels, because living in North Carolina in the late 80s, you really couldn't find, or early 90s, you couldn't find a good bagel store in Greensboro, North Carolina. So Florida had a ton of good bagel places. So we load up Biff the Wonder Car with like 36 bagels. We've got plain bagels. We've got sesame. We've got everything. We've got garlic. We've got onion. We've got pumpernickel. Everything, right? We stuffed them in the car, like around the luggage and everything. And I think we actually put them in small bags so we could actually cram them in little spaces. We go to Kennedy Space Center and we park, like, you know, you're like 15 miles away. You need a little jetpack to get to Kennedy Space. The parking lots are incredibly far away. Anyway, we get there. We go do the thing, right? We see all the Rocket Garden is really cool, and we do the stuff on the inside. But it's a typical Florida day. It's like 90 some degrees, right? We start walking back to the car, and we hit the very edge of the parking lot, and we say, everyone looks at each other and says, my God, what is that smell? We could because it was so hot and we had left the windows almost all the way up in the car, we could smell my car a good 3/4 mile away because it had the bagels in them. The stench was so overpowering that there was actually a ring of empty parking lot spaces, like 30 yards wide around my car. It was like a bomb had gone off and craterized everything around the parking lot except for my little car. We actually ended up driving back with the windows down. The car smelled so bad. And for years afterwards, the car smelled like bagels.
And a Seinfeld episode was based on that experience.
Was it really? No.
And this is episode 383 of Walt Disney World Today. I'm Matt Hotchberg of StudioCentral.com. On the show tonight is client number 10, Len Testa, co-author of the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World.
That was awesome. What? How's it going, Matt?
Would that be check, cash, or credit card?
But
anyway.
Yeah, all I'm saying.
Save it for the X-rated show, Len. Save it for the X-rated show. Also on the show today, we have Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. Welcome, Mike.
Matt, you're sounding smooth and pleasing tonight.
Sorry, I left my annoying voice at home.
Oh, good. All right.
And also on the show today, we have Mike Scopa of AllEars.net. Welcome, Mike.
We can combine it with ghostly shivers on a stormy night and turn it into a tale of fright.
Imagination.
A dream can be
Dream come true.
Well, on today's show, before we started, I want to mention one quick thing. Be sure to check out the Walt Disney World Today Wiki. It's like a Wikipedia just for our show. It includes lots of informative stuff, like maybe inside jokes, explains all of the inside jokes that we could think of. Describes a lot of the details of the show, and certainly you can add to it as a wiki. That's the beauty of it. So just go to wdwtoday.com. You'll see the link on the right hand side. And on today's show, we're bringing back Mystery Science Theater 3000. So we're going to be doing Horizons today. Come on, Len. You know the words.
Challenge, make the world a better place to be. New horizons for you and for me.
Simon Cowell? I think it was horrendous.
Horrendous. Hey, at least I remember all the words. On. Yeah. I remember all the words. I like the kids.
This is a competition, Len. You can't expect to win.
That is the worst British accent I've ever heard.
Yeah, what is that?
That rivals Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins.
We're gonna fight over the landing. I know we will.
It's only three of us. Only three of us get to pick.
Is four.
So I'm saying only three of us get to pick, and there's four of us. We're gonna fight.
There's three landings, right?
Yeah. Oh, that space sea and
land.
Newest land. And exciting Centauri series of space
days. And poultry. Surf and turf.
Space,
sea, land, and chicken.
Land like a feather with one of mine.
Wow, Newell is so impressed by going back in time he hasn't said a word on this ride.
I'm enjoying.
Here's my question. You're going to the moon. You bring a chicken?
No.
Wait, let's see. What do we have here? Oxygen? Check. Water? Check.
Wait,
poultry?
Hold on.
No poultry!
Exactly. Okay. Couch? Yes. Propulsion? Yes. Poultry? Why not?
Yeah, they said bring something, and the guy just decided to...
Wait a minute. Where's my chicken? Exactly. Wing it.
A living tribute to our richest resource, people.
People.
Hookers.
Yes!
Oh my God.
You know, anytime in Walt Disney World, when they start talking about your most precious resource, it's always kids or people. No one ever has the cojones to say oil.
So that wraps it up. We have to, of course, thank Soundboard Len for all that he's provided this show.
So glad that you finally recognize my true talents. Thank you so much.
Anytime, Soundboard Len. And that's it for us today. If you want to find our older episodes, read our show notes, or send us your comments, visit the Walt Disney World Today website at wdwtoday.com. Don't forget that you can also visit the Walt Disney World Today wiki at wdwtoday.com. For Len Testa, Mike Scopa, Mike Newell, I'm Matt Hotchberg. We'll see you on the next show.
That's all for today. Just a reminder that this episode has been sponsored by touringplans.com. A subscription to Touring Plans is only $12.95. And don't forget their exclusive discount code ZUZU2014. The production of the original shows used in today's episode was by Mouse World Radio and WDW Today. The production of this highlight show was by foulcats.co.uk. Check it out, and I'll see you on Wednesday's show.